Told you, he's fortunate to be alive, isn't he? But not fortunate. You know what it is? That's God. Well, Jimmy told me that story. Of course, Floyd, you know his story, and he was in talking his story, and Jimmy's was, I just captivated by him telling me all the things that he left some of it off that he told me that your bulldoze, remember, it almost tipped over? Yeah, yeah. I'm waiting for all this good stuff, and he said a lot of it, but just story after story. And you say, Pastor, what? Listen, that's the providence of God. I just wanted to show you that if God wants you alive, you're going to be alive. You will die in God's perfect timing for you. You can ask Tom that. You can ask Jimmy that. Many, many times. There's no explanation of why he's still with us today, except that God has something in store for him. And I'm so thankful God had kept him around to be a part of Faith Baptist Church. Isn't he one of the best greeters you've ever seen in your life? And he loves the Lord, serves the Lord, and he's just very fortunate to be alive. That is the grace of God. And I love to hear these testimonies of what God is doing. I mean, Ron's a great example here today. Really, at his age and what he went through, there's no reason he should be here right now. But God has something in store for him. And God has something in store for each one. And maybe our stories aren't as magnificent or wild as Jimmy's or Tom or Ron. But God's got you right where you're at with purpose. And you're still here. Let's do a work for God. And that's why I love to have a testimony like this as we think about Christ and what he's done for us. And that's why just before we take communion, I want to finish out a little bit on the road to Emmaus. 3 months ago, we started this, that these two disciples, I believe husband and wife, but not necessarily, were on the road to Damascus, or Emmaus, I'm sorry, not Damascus. I got Paul on my mind now. They're on the road to Emmaus. They were hurting because they believed that Jesus had come to set up the kingdom and now he's dead. The very people he were to defeat are the very people that had him killed. Now, they knew he was a great prophet. They knew he was a miracle worker. They said that, but they were just hurting. And so we looked at the need for understanding. They needed to understand why Christ came. Then you know the story. Christ came upon him and they didn't know it was Christ. And then we looked at last month that Christ was the source of understanding. So they needed to understand what Christ came for, and they got the source, and that was the Old Testament. And Jesus went through the Old Testament and preached unto them himself. And he showed them out of the Old Testament scriptures why he came. He came, he'll come back again to set up a kingdom, but that's not why he came. He came to take away the sins of the world. And if you're in our Wednesday nights, we're talking about Christ and different things he does. He probably talked about the manna. He talked about the rock. He talked about the sacrifices. He talked about the Passover lambs. And he brought to their attention everything, and the light bulb started to come on in their heads. And so we looked at the source of understanding. But then I want to conclude today by the response to his understanding. The response. What was their response? While Christ gave an unparalleled survey of the Old Testament teaching regarding himself, and particularly how it related to his death, and it left Cleophas and probably his wife stunned and overwhelmed. Their hearts were ignited by the scriptures. These are things they never saw before. They never understood, and the way Jesus explained them. And again, I wrote a note to myself, understanding the meaning of the Bible fulfills the true believer's deepest longing because it anchors our faith in the reality of producing profound joy. To know the interpretation of Scripture is to know God and realize how his plan is unfolding and his sovereign purpose is being accomplished in our lives. It all comes when you understand the Scriptures. I'm convinced today there's a lot of Christians out there that don't take time to read the scriptures. They don't they don't take time to study the scriptures. They don't take time to search. They don't take the time to even listen to preaching on you can get it online, you can get it on the radio. There's so much available for us today. I used to love to, once in a while when I'd go over to chat and see chat for something, I'd try to always to get him to take me down to the basement. I'd find a reason to go down to the basement. You know what I loved about that, his little basement? He had a makeshift desk there. It wasn't a desk, it was a table, I believe, wasn't it? But I could look on that desk, on that table. And he had book after book after book always centered around the Bible. Chet would come to our Bible studies here. Steve would lead him, and it was funny because Chet would pull out 3 pages of notes that he'd taken from the Bible study and all the verses he wrote out. Chet was a wonderful, wonderful Christian man. But there's a reason for that. There's a reason he was so committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, because I think, like these two disciples, for the first time the light bulb came on and they understood the scriptures. Boy, when the scriptures become alive to you, it changes your focus. It changes everything about you. And as they walked along, Jesus gave them the source of understanding, and he began to explain to them the Old Testament that they'd never seen, how every book in the Old Testament pointed to him and what he was. And for the first time, I believe, in their lives, they understood that Jesus hadn't come to set up the kingdom. He had come to die for the sins of the world, and it was right before their eyes forever. It was right there. But they missed it. Because they were so focused on his coming and setting up a kingdom and defeating the Romans that they missed the scripture. I think people get so involved in their lives on this earth and what their thoughts are and what they want. They miss what's in the Word of God. They miss the very truths of the Word of God. And that's why I think this story is in there. As these two disciples with Jesus approached the village, Jesus acted, if you read the story, and it's verses Luke 24, 28 through 32, Jesus acted as he wanted to go a little farther. And he did so probably for the same reason he wanted to elicit a response that would demonstrate the effectiveness of the scriptures in their hearts. He wanted to see what they had learned and what they wanted. They wanted more instruction. And they didn't want the thrilling teaching to end. The more they got, the more they wanted. And that is so true, folks. The hungrier you get for scriptures, the more you want. The more you desire. That's why for some folks, it's not a challenge to be in church. It's not a challenge to sit through 3 sermons back to back and back almost. It's not a challenge to listen to some preaching. It's not a challenge to take out Dr. J. Vernon McGee and read alongside the because you want to understand the scriptures. You want to gather some truths because there's so much in there you just don't understand. But it's there. Boy, their hearts began to burn within them. They wanted more instruction. And as Jesus started to leave them, they strongly urged him to stay. And they said, it was getting toward evening. The day was nearly over. Why don't you come in and grab a bite to eat with us? Because, and again, they weren't just being hospitable. I do not believe their invitation was motivated by hospitality. For the Lord gave them the impression he had a place to stay. They simply wanted more understanding of God's revelation. And again, that's why on this day where we look at the Lord's Supper, I hope you have an intense desire to know more about Christ, to know more about God's Word. That's what these disciples did, and it changed their lives forever. Just simply, they had an understanding of Scriptures. And again, as they went into the home, I believe Jesus was continually giving the Old Testament. And to their joy, Jesus said, I'll go in and stay with you. And in the midst of the conversation, Jesus did something unusual. And this is the last thing I'm going to give you. For they sat down and reclined at the table, which they would sit and lean back usually. When they would eat around a table that was lower to the floor, they didn't sit in chairs like we typically do in America. A little end table or whatever was there, and they probably laid down on their sides or laid down and kneeled down on pillows. And as they did this, it's interesting. If you read the story, Jesus did something unusual. For when he reclined at the table, he took the bread, he blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Well, that seems so unusual to me because it's the host's place to break the bread and initiate the meal, not the guests. But evidently, these two disciples were so caught up in the teaching of Christ, they had forgot about eating and what was important. They were just enthralled with the Old Testament scriptures that they'd never seen before. And as Jesus performed this act of kindness, their eyes were suddenly opened. And for the first time in this whole conversation, they recognized Jesus, that he was alive. He was the Messiah. He was there. He was right with them. Perhaps it was the way he broke the bread or the familiar words he used as he blessed the meal. But Jesus used that to open their eyes. Now here's the amazing thought in this whole story. If you read in Luke chapter 24, it says their eyes were opened in verse 31, and they knew him, they saw him, they knew that was the Christ. And then this phrase, he vanished out of their sight. Now picture this. You're hearing this guy speak, your heart is just burning within you. You're understanding scripture that you've never understood. You've had the Old Testament. You've heard the Old Testament preached. You've been in synagogue after synagogue. You've heard the readings of the Old Testament, but it never had come alive to them. And all of a sudden, the Old Testament and the purpose of Christ being on this earth came alive to them, and their hearts got excited. And while they're doing this, Jesus passed out the bread to them. He blessed it and passed the bread to them, and their eyes were opened. And to their amazement, they saw this was Jesus. And this moment that happened, what happened? He vanished out of their sight. The word vanish means poof, gone. Now picture this. You're sitting talking to somebody, and they just poof, gone. That amaze you? I don't know if it amaze you, but it amazed me. Today we go home and sit at a meal, and my daughter just goes poof, gone. That'd be something to talk about. He vanished out of their sight. Poof, he's gone. He's just gone. But follow the conversation. And they said to one another, where'd he go? He was right here. And he's gone. That didn't even come across their mind. Look what he said. They said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, while opened the scriptures to us? That was their conversation. It wasn't, what happened to him? He was right here and he's gone. He's vanished. That didn't even play in their minds. They simply said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us? I tell you, folks, all I could think about was, that's what this book will do for you when you grab hold of it. The world becomes unimportant. The things that are happening around you don't really seem to matter that much because this book has come alive. If I could tell you one thing Christianity is missing today, it's a passion for this book. I think these two disciples were depressed. You read the story, read the whole story. They were discouraged. And they said he was the Messiah and he was going to come and set up the kingdom. And he was a great prophet, but he's gone. They killed him. He died. The people he was supposed to defeat are the people that defeated him. What kind of leader was he? But when their hearts began to burn within them. Because they got a hold of the scriptures. He vanished out of their sight, and that didn't even cross their minds. Because they got a hold of the scriptures. What'd they do? Now remember, it was at night. That's why they told Jesus, come in and eat with us. It's growing light. You got to eat. You don't want to be traveling at night. Come in. And it says immediately, they rose up that same hour and what? They went back the 8-mile hike to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. I guess I pondered this all week. Matter of fact, I pondered this passage all month. They got a hold of the scriptures. They didn't even care that Jesus vanished out of their sight. Did not our hearts burn within us? They left Emmaus. They hadn't eaten a bite yet. It was dark, very dangerous to travel at night, and they shot back all the way to Jerusalem. Because they had to tell somebody. And I can imagine that conversation. Yes. And it's not written here in Scripture. Luke doesn't write it. But here's what I picture, and I'm through with this. They said, we have seen Christ, and he is risen. But we understand why he came. We get it. We know now why he came. It wasn't to set up a kingdom. And they probably took those disciples to the same passages that Christ took them to give them an understanding of the scripture. And as I finish the story out, the Bible became alive to them, and they were the first of the disciples, not to see Christ, but these were the first of the disciples to understand why Jesus came. They found it in this book. Oh, he had told them many times. But when he went and showed them from the Old Testament why he came, it changed those two disciples, I believe, forever. And that's the point I want to make to you. This book will change you forever. That's why we obey this book. That's why we have the Lord's Supper. It's to remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ until one day he returns. But I ask you the question as you prepare your heart. Does your heart ever burn within you for the scripture? You won't want to be around here some days. I have a little, I call it a Bapticostal fit. And I find something in the scriptures, and the first place I do is I run to the auditorium and run around this auditorium. I get so excited. You get truth. I'm reading and studying, and I don't understand a passage, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit reveals the truth of that passage to you, and it's almost like, wow, glory to God, hallelujah. That's what we're missing. We're missing that passion. That's what these disciples were missing. Simply an understanding of the scripture. They were disciples. They were with Christ. When they got an understanding of the scripture, their hearts burned within them. I hope this, what Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary, will light a fire in your soul to know him. To find out what it's all about. to find out what God wants to do in our lives. Let this book burn within you. So in just a moment, we'll prepare our hearts, and it's mostly all folks. There aren't any guests. I know Dr. Scott's a guest, but he's been a part of this church, whether he wanted to or not, for a long time.